the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Monday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West Farm City Newsday. Starting off with the California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News Report, this is the busiest time of year for beekeepers who breed and sell queen bees to help replenish honeybee colonies. And the breeders say the drought may lead to additional demand. Dry weather reduces the amount of forage available to bees, meaning beekeepers could need to buy more queens to restock hives. Bee breeders say that the demand for new queens has been so intense that they have had to turn away prospective customers. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about employers having the right to refuse property access. You'll hear about the eligibility requirements for on-farm ready reviews for small farms. Taylor Hillman has details on how more mechanical harvesting options are in the works for table olives. And I'm starting off today's show with an update on trade and why one trade representative says it's not on the new administration's back burner. Let's jump right in. As reported last week, agriculture groups and Congress were seeking answers from the Biden administration on the current trade climate. U.S. Trade Ambassador Katherine Tai pushed back on claims that new trade deals are on the back burner in the Biden administration, specifically when questioned on Kenya and the U.K.
It should be clear that trade is not on the back burner. For your question specifically on the UK and Kenya, I think it was in my first 2 weeks on the job that I've had conversations with my counterparts in both countries.
Failing to answer if the White House would fast-track power to speed up a deal, instead she touched on getting through the pandemic, offering a summary of those trade talks and how they can meet Biden's Build Back Better goals. In relation to China and whether to continue some of the $370 billion in Trump tariffs on those Chinese goods, she added,
"We are
setting up a new exclusion process.
The top-to-bottom review on China at USTR, and the tariffs and the exclusion process will be a critical component of that review, through which we will be soliciting robust feedback from the public, from Congress."
Here's what she said on USMCA.
"I will enforce the new standards, follow through on our commitments, and use the agreement to ensure that Canada and Mexico do too."
Including to deal with Mexico's bans or those pending on GMO corn and glyphosate. Tai also announced the U.S. has triggered a USMCA review by Mexico of a crackdown on labor organizing at a GM factory. NAFB contributed to this report. And now here's Taylor Hillman with more agriculture news.
Research continues to look at mechanical harvesting for table olive producers, and recent advancements show promise. Because of labor costs, traditional table olive orchards with wide spacing are not economical. Several researchers around California have tried two styles of mechanical harvesting over the last decade to reduce that cost and allow for higher density planting. The first is a canopy contact harvest that brushes the canopy of the tree and catches the fruit below. The second is a pistachio harvester that shakes the trunk of the tree and catches. Both of these methods would allow for higher density plantings. The research has shown that canopy harvesters average 88 to 90% final harvester efficiency in both traditional and high density orchards. The trunk shakers achieved a final harvester efficiency of 77.5% in moderate density hedgerow orchards. UC Merced is attempting to combine the two by shaking and brushing at the same time. They're also developing a brush that is 50% softer on the tree. The new method is proving to be efficient, however, will need modifications for more mature trees. The group said their final goal is to create a lightweight canopy shaker head that can be side-mounted on a bobcat or excavator, and in combination with existing trunk shakers, efficiently shake large traditionally shaped table olive tree canopies. For more agriculture news, you can go to agnetwest.com. Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
California landowners do have the right to refuse property access. Secretary of Labor Julie Hsu recently stated her intention to come onto farming operations to talk about COVID sick leave, but Pat Moody from the law firm Barsamian & Moody said that farmers can deny access.
The basic rule is governmental agencies frequently will have the right to come to enforce those statutes and those regulations that they're in charge of enforcing. But this is not that kind of thing. This is something where she says she wants to come out and educate people. She doesn't have a mandate that allows her to come on to somebody's private property to educate employees. So absent a search warrant or a subpoena of some sort, she has no right to come on the property and do what she's claiming she's going to do. And so people need to train their supervisors, their foremen, whoever's going to be in charge in a particular field or location, to know that they don't have to let them in, because the thing that overrides the requirement of a subpoena or a warrant is consent. If they get consent to come in, they're allowed to come in. And so we want to make sure that we're not giving them consent where we don't have to. And so that's important for people to know, that absent a warrant, absent a subpoena, they need consent to come onto your property.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in other news, where are this year's worst wildfires expected? We'll find out more in this next report.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack points to where this year's worst wildfires are expected to be.
Starting in the southwest and moving throughout the western part of the United States, we're seeing a higher level of risk and an earlier level of risk than we've seen in the recent past.
He says there is concern for the communities that may be impacted by these fires,
as well as concern for the safety of those who will be fighting these fires. Over 15,000 firefighters will eventually be engaged in this effort. We've already begun pre-positioning tankers and helicopters and heavy equipment and engines.
What's the point of this preparation?
So we're in the position, based on our best estimate as to where the risk is highest, to be able to try to respond to these fires as quickly as possible. And the reality is that 98% to 99% of these fires are contained by the great professionals that we have. Occasionally, one of these fires will get out and will actually spread rapidly. And that, of course, is when we are most concerned.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
You've been listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports in just a moment. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. A group of senators announced the Joint Chiefs Landscape Restoration Partnership Act of 2021. The legislation would formally authorize the Department of Agriculture's Joint Chiefs Landscape Restoration Partnership initiative to better support forest and grassland restoration projects across public and private land. The lawmakers say the bill supports voluntary restoration projects across ownership boundaries so that treatments can occur across a landscape. Since USDA launched Joint Chiefs in 2014, the initiative has supported 93 projects, treated 300,000 acres of hazardous fuels, restored 29,000 acres in watersheds, and enhanced 200,000 acres of wildlife habitat. The legislation would formally establish the program at USDA, doubling its funding to help meet demand and improve outreach and accountability. Senators Michael Bennett, a Colorado Democrat, and John Hoeven, a North Dakota Republican, introduced the bill in the Senate. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is still offering on-farm readiness reviews for small and very small farming operations. Director of Regulatory Affairs and Food Safety for the Western Agricultural Processors Association, Priscilla Rodriguez explains what an on-farm readiness review consists of.
They have conversations with you about what procedures and practices you have in place in terms of food safety, highlighting what they'll be going over. For example, they go over worker health and hygiene, how you're communicating your food safety rules to your employees, visitors. They go over training and qualifications. So whether you've been trained in the grower training, what type of training you'd provide for your employees. They go over sanitation of your equipment, tools, buildings. They go over your growing and harvesting activities. And then they'll also talk to you about water. You're not yet required to be in compliance with the water section of the rule. However, they still have a conversation with you about it. And just so that you're aware of what is required and what they will look for eventually when inspections do include that portion of the rule. So really, it's just encompassing going over the questions, similar questions that they will be asking when an actual inspection. So when it does come time for an inspection, you know that you're what they want, what they're going to see, what they're going to ask, and you can be prepared.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And filling in for today's livestock report, here is Taylor Hellman.
A cultured meat company rebrands itself and prepares for the market. More after this.
Are you stuck inside but looking for bargains on new and secondhand goods? Try HiBid.com, the online auction site for just about anything. HiBid.com offers a safe and easy way to find hundreds of thousands of items for sale every day. From rare coins to fine jewelry, tools to vintage toys, and classic cars to real estate, HiBid.com has it all. HiBid.com makes it easy to find what you're looking for, and the site is simple to use. Come to HiBid.com, that's HIBID.com, and start discovering great deals today.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination. Our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The National Association of Farm Broadcasters reports that cultured meat company Memphis Meats announced this week that it's rebranding its name to Upside Foods. The move comes as the company prepares to produce its first consumer product, cultured chicken. The company released the world's first cultured meatball in February of 2016 and the world's first cultured poultry in March of 2017. Cultured chicken products will be available to consumers later this year, pending regulatory review. Grown from animal cells, the Upside Chicken cultivated without the need to raise an animal and is not a plant-based meat alternative. To create the products at scale, Upside Foods has broken ground on a pilot plant in the San Francisco Bay Area. The end-to-end facility will produce, package, and ship cultured meat all under one roof.
Thanks, Taylor. And in more agriculture news, AgriSafe has launched an AgriStress Network. AgriSafe launches an AgriStress Network. AgriSafe Network this week announced the launch of the AgriStress Response Network. The launch coincides with May as Mental Health Awareness Month. The network includes agriculture professionals committed to sharing non-proprietary information, ensuring that resources and training are widely disseminated to reduce farmer and rancher stress. The effort seeks to eliminate the stigma of seeking support for mental health, including depression, anxiety, and farmer suicide. AgriSafe says research shows 20% of any population has mental health complications, and that includes farmers and ranchers. Stigma and privacy concerns associated with mental health issues may mean that people do not seek out available behavioral health services. Many of the factors that affect agricultural production are largely beyond the control of the producer. For example, isolation, variability in weather, lack of access to health services, and low commodity prices could have a direct impact on the rise in mental health issues. AgriSafe also offers resources such as webinars with tips for better sleep, Parkinson's disease, pregnancy, and much more. You can learn more about the network by visiting agrisafe.org. An AFB contributed to this report. You're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Wheel. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. For today's interview segment, Brian German goes over the options employers have when refusing property access. Let's take a listen to more with Brian German and attorney Patrick Moody.
Pat Moody joins us here today. He's a shareholder with the law firm Barsamian and Moody. And today we're talking about a recent issue as it pertains to property access. Now, you've recently sent out some bulletins with some helpful information, letting farmers know that the Secretary of Labor has stated she would be heading out to talk to farm workers about COVID sick leave. So explain to us what this issue is about and what rights farmers and property owners have in this instance.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. Julie Sue, who is the California Labor Commissioner, sent out a tweet recently that she was going to partner up with various groups to go out and educate, and that's the quote is quote unquote educate, workers on their rights regarding COVID sick leave and COVID pay. And the way she indicated she was going to do that was simply going to show up at farms and talk to the employees. And she doesn't have a right to do that. So it's important for landowners and those who are, you know, in charge of the land that is, you know, being worked on with these employees, to know what their rights are in terms of who can come on and who cannot come on the property. And so the basic rule is that governmental agencies frequently will have the right to come to enforce those statutes and those regulations that they're in charge of enforcing. So Cal/OSHA, for example, can come out and they can inspect your property. And they're entitled to come out and do a spot inspection. But this is not that kind of thing. This is something where she says she wants to come out and educate people. She doesn't have a mandate that allows her to come on to somebody's private property to educate employees. So absent a search warrant or a subpoena of some sort, she has no right to come on the property and do what she's claiming she's going to do. And so people need to train their supervisors, their foremen, whoever's going to be in charge in a particular field or location, to know that they don't have to let them in, because the thing that overrides the requirement of a subpoena or a warrant is consent. If they get consent to come in, they're allowed to come in. And so we want to make sure that we're not giving them consent where we don't have to. And so that's important for people to know that absent a warrant, absent a subpoena, they need consent to come onto your property.
So in this particular capacity, even though there may be some regulatory officials that are a part of these visits, farmers still have a right to deny access.
And now I think an important point you've made in your newsletter is that while farmers don't have to let them in, it's important to be respectful and cordial when preventing access on the property.
So yeah, one of the key things is to remember that these agencies do have enforcement powers. So we don't want to be overly antagonistic with them. If we're overly antagonistic with them, they can go get warrants and come back and do fine-tooth comb inspections and look for things to cite you for. So you want to be cordial, you want to be nice to them, but you don't have to grant them consent. If you've got questions, tell them that you need to contact your attorney. Most agencies will give you, 30 minutes or 45 minutes maybe to contact your attorney and, get somebody on the phone and, talk you through what you can and can't do. But it's important, again, to be cordial and be firm with them, but don't be overly antagonistic because they can come back and if they've got you in their sights, then they're going to come cause problems for you. So you want to make sure that you know what you can and can't do and be firm, but be polite.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. Sometimes these types of situations can become a bit confrontational. But it's especially important that when a farmer's denying that consent for access, they do it in a respectful manner, like you said, because getting overly combative could result in maybe a little extra scrutiny the next time that these regulatory agencies come out for a lawful inspection.
Correct. If OSHA was to show up and you tell them, nope, you can't come in, they can come back with a warrant and they will find everything that's wrong with your facility and cite you for it. So yeah, you want to be polite, but don't give up consent to have them come on just because they're there. You can refuse, but be polite in how you do it.
Thanks, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a short break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. I do want to quickly remind you that if you'd like to recap any of today's reports mentioned in the show, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The Produce Marketing Association and United Fresh Produce Association held a member vote to seek approval to move forward in creating a single new organization. The new organization, announced earlier this year, will represent the global produce and floral communities. Each organization solicited votes from their members and both reported full confidence in the initiative. The member vote was the final step in approval to dissolve each organization at the end of year to incorporate a new association launching January 1st, 2022. Produce Marketing
Marketing Association and United Fresh have indicated that the next priority will be to create the organization's new structure focused on best serving the industry's needs and goals. Members can expect an update on the staff team, volunteer leadership structure, and business plans for 2022 in the coming months. Based on the member vote, both associations will now honor the membership status of the other organization when registering for events and programs. The Department of Agriculture will purchase up to $159.4 million in domestically produced seafoods, fruits, legumes, and nuts for distribution to a variety of domestic food assistance programs. The purchases are being made with funds under the authority of Section 32 of the Agricultural Adjustment Act. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, "These healthy, nutritious food purchases will benefit food banks and nonprofits helping those struggling with food hardship," unquote. The inventories of the included commodities are in high oversupply due to a decrease in demand because of COVID-19 and a disruption in the supply chain as restaurants and other outlets closed during the pandemic. Within a few days of approval, USDA's Food and Nutrition Service will offer these commodities to their networks. Orders should be received during the first week of June, with solicitations being issued mid-June and awards occurring at the end of the month. Delivery should start to occur by mid-August. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal. Now let's get into more local news. Here's Brian German.
The 4-H Virtual Code Camp is coming up June 14th through the 18th. 4-H Community Education Specialist Evelyn Rumsby described what the Code Camp is all about and what attendees can expect.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We actually did one last year in July, right after the pandemic happened, and we really wanted to provide a coding experience for our youth. So we decided to jump in and do one virtually, and it was a big success. We had about 50 kids sign up, so we thought we'd go ahead and do it again. So the camp is for all youth, both 4-H members and non-4-H members, from ages 9 to 18. And we do a lot of hands-on coding in the classic 4-H style of experiential learning. We kind of let the kids jump right in the deep end, and we use platforms like Google's CS First and Scratch and Python language. We use Sphero mini robots, do virtual robotics. We get the kids playing with all sorts of coding experiences. And we also have a Google speaker lined up, someone who works at Google, a programmer, to come and talk to the youth about what they do. And then we'll have a Q&A session for them so they can learn about what it's really like coding in the field and doing computer science.
I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And in more agriculture news, the full Senate Thursday confirmed the nomination of Virginia's Agriculture and Consumer Services Commissioner to serve as USDA's Deputy Secretary. Let's hear more details in this report with USDA's Rod Bain.
What motivates me and inspires me is that with all of the challenges our farmers and ranchers and landowners face today, I have never met one who is not eternally optimistic.
Then Virginia State Agriculture and Consumer Services Commissioner Jewel Branagh during last month's Senate Ag Committee confirmation hearing. Late Thursday, her nomination as Deputy Agriculture Secretary was confirmed by the full Senate via voice vote, becoming the first woman of color to serve in the number two role at USDA. Also included on her resume,
I am very proud of my work in cooperative extension. This led to the honor of serving as Dean of the College of Agriculture at Virginia State University. In 2015, Secretary Vilsack appointed me as the State Executive Director for the Farm Service Agency.
And in a press release Thursday, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack highlighted Dr. Branagh's efforts as a public servant and in finding ways to help people in need. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
And rounding out today's show with a recap of one of today's top stories, here's Taylor Hillman.
Research continues to look at mechanical harvesting for table olive producers, and recent advancements show promise. Because of labor costs, traditional table olive orchards with wide spacing are not economical. Several researchers around California have tried two styles of mechanical harvesting over the last decade to reduce that cost and allow for higher density planting. The first is a canopy contact harvest that brushes the canopy of the tree and catches the fruit below. The second is a pistachio harvester that shakes the trunk of the tree and catches. Both of these methods would allow for higher density plantings. The research has shown that canopy harvesters average 88 to 90% final harvester efficiency in both traditional and high density orchards. The trunk shakers achieved a final harvester efficiency of 77.5% in moderate density hedgerow orchards. UC Merced is attempting to combine the two by shaking and brushing at the same time. They're also developing a brush that is 50% softer on the tree. The new method is proving to be efficient, however, will need modifications for more mature trees. The group said their final goal is to create a lightweight canopy shaker head that can be side-mounted on a bobcat or excavator, and in combination with existing trunk shakers, efficiently shake large, traditionally shaped table olive tree canopies. For more agriculture news, you can go to agnetwest.com. Reporting for Agnet West Radio Network, I'm Taylor Hillman.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.